WWA Mobile. Today, you know you're supposed to be staying home now.
What's up, big guy?
I just wonder where you're headed off to. You know you're supposed to be staying at home now unless you're going to get groceries or go to the doctor's office.
That starts at 5 o'clock this evening. This is my last gasp of freedom.
Legitimate right to be out because I got doctor's appointments in the morning, so I will have to be out. Yeah, I'm going to run out to the post office here in a little bit and drop off some outgoing QSL cards and pick up whatever mail's in my box. Probably a lot of junk mail.
Man, you keep them psychiatric guys going, don't you?
Well, fortunately, I'm not going to see those guys. I've got to go for my 6 months of regular checkup. So, you know, us older guys have to go often than more often than you younger fellas.
Are you in the Spartanburg regional system?
My doctor is not part of it. I don't have to go to the doctor's office. I've got an office. His doctor's office is around the corner from me.
Recently went to the doctor from our dining room table. He did an online deal.
Got to go in for lab work and an electrocardiogram.
Yeah, they can't do that quite over the online, can they?
Nope. Couldn't afford to send that equipment to my house for me to do it. So, which means I've got to appear in their office tomorrow.
Yep. Well, I don't know how they knew, but yesterday at around 11 o'clock, my wife's office manager came around and handed her a letter on the clinic letterhead stating that she was an essential personnel and told Sue that if you get stopped, just show them this letter. And what time did the governor make that announcement? Was it around 5 o'clock yesterday?
I don't know. I just have to catch it later in the evening on a news thing that flipped up on my screen on my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, he was on TV at around 5 o'clock, I believe.
Times I've gotten so that, listening to that stuff is just... some of it just runs on and on and on and on, and they don't say a whole lot in the time period they're talking.
Know what you mean.
Today, going to get some more supplies so you can work around the house?
I've got several vehicles, and along the short of it, the one I drive primarily, just for good mileage, is a little 2008 Saturn Aura, about the same as the Chevy Impala. And I'm going out, and I am going to get it filled up and fill up some gas cans so that I can continue cutting grass around the house. Doesn't that sound like fun? Of course, when I say cutting grass, I've got 8 acres that I have to cut.
Yeah, you told me about that. Well, right now it wouldn't do me any good to get gas. I've got gas for the lawnmower, but the lawnmower's on the fritz right now. The other day it cut off, and I haven't been able to get it started since then.
Get a bigger hammer.
Yeah, yesterday it didn't do any good, and the lawnmower just sat there and looked at me.
I don't know. You live down towards Roebuck, don't you?
Yep.
Well, then you need to find somebody down there. But I found I'm up towards Inman, and I found a place up there. And the guy has been reasonably honest with me.
Care's done.
Honest and reasonable.
Well, I also happen to have a guy that actually comes by. I'm not even supposed to be out there mowing grass. My back does not like the slight up and down hill, even though it's a little self-propelled mower. it's, you know, it's enough of an up and down hill and sideways and all that stuff that walking behind it, my back doesn't like it, and I'm supposed to be careful when I'm out there. So, and usually I have somebody that comes over for $30, you know, and he'll mow my grass and blow the leaves around and all that stuff that needs to be done, and, you know, he does a good job at it, too.
I own a little house just south of us on New Cut, and it's 0.6 acres, and my daughter is in it, renting from me right now. And, of course, you know where that's going, so I've got to go down and... They blew the motor on a riding mower that I'd given them last year, so I got to go down and cut their grass now since they don't have a riding mower.
Hey, you got the same size property I got. That's what I got, 0.6 acre over here.
That grass in that place is just as thick and grows so doggone fast, you know, and it is difficult to do with a push mower, but... Tell you what, the stuff that dads get roped into, I'll tell you.
That's part of being a father and everything. Wish mine had lived long enough for me to get the advantages of some of his, but I was only 10 years old when he passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
1957, I was 10 years old, my sisters were 6 and 4, and my brother was 10 months old, so go figure.
What did he pass from?
Well, he had been in the service for a number of years, and he, up underneath his collarbone, he got some cancer, and it grew over into his breathing area, and they had to put a tube in for him to breathe from. And one weekend, he was at home at the house, and the tube collapsed. Before the ambulance could get there and get him back to the Navy hospital, it was all over. So he's buried out there in San Diego.
That is tough. Well, you know, it's something that we all have to do at some point, so hopefully we'll all go with grace.
Well, I mean, he was only 33 years old, and my mom had to bring 4 kids back to South Carolina and raise 4 kids and work and all that other good stuff that goes with it. So, you know, it's what life is.
Pardon me, I went down under the ledge of a shadow and I dropped out of the repeater.
You're getting in just fine right now.
Well, I'm headed on down the road here. I'm going to get my gasoline and then I'm going to go back to the house and get some a little bit more stuff for the roof of this swing that I'm building for Sue, and beyond that, I'll be in for the duration.
Here in a little bit, I'm going to run out. I'll run out to the post office and check that. That's something I can do because I get medication that comes by mail, so they can't stop me from going there. So that's one of the things I get away with going to. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, well, it's 12:30. Of course, I didn't go to bed till late, and I didn't sleep well, so I didn't eat breakfast until about 10:30 this morning. So, you know, it's just what it is, and all. Well, you be careful out there, Steve. We'll talk to you later. KN4VWA W2T.
Hey, before you go, guess who I hit on Sunday afternoon?
Who's that?
Ascension Island.
Oh yeah, I heard you talking about that the other day. Well, good luck on that and everything. I've worked them, but I've never been confirmed. So, you know, one of these days I might get the QSL card for that. I'll have to have to see. Anyway, well, have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
And hopefully this thing is not going to last but a couple of weeks. We'll all be going cabin fever. All right. 73's KN4 VWA. Clear.
CBG mobile.
CBG KN4 VWA.
KN4 VWA, this is Carl. Carlos with the new call sign, K4CBG. How do you copy?
Wow. Well, where are you, bud?
I'm Pickens Repeater, just outside of Pickens.
Oh, you're getting out just real, real nice. That's almost full quieting.
This is my first tryout with the new call sign.
Give your name for a while, you can go incognito like James Bond.
What? The gig is up already. I didn't think about that.
K4VWA. Yeah, man, you can go like James Bond and be incognito and. Sometimes I just don't believe how full of it I am.
Was it all right? KB4CBA.
Hey, Dave, how you doing, buddy? Oh, so hey to Carlos. He's in there. Well, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, Carlos. It's too late. That's Carlos in there with a new call sign. He's, let me see if I got it right. KB4CB... No, C-something-G.
Four, Chuck Bob Golf.
Chuck Bob Golf, how about that? So what are you up to, Dave?
Just an air copy in the mail. I was listening to a guy on 17 meters in the UK, and I made contact with him, but I could not get his call right, and I couldn't find him on QRZ, so I don't have him logged in here. But anyway, 17 meters is hopping right now on sideband.
Okay. Well, hey man, that was really interesting last night. Hey Carlos, listen to this. Now, do you do any HF, Carlos?
I have sat with my dad many, many hours while he's done it.
Well, last night, I mean, I've been licensed since July, and I've never really heard much activity on 10 meter. But last night, 10 meter was jumping. I was all over Central and South America with it.
Where were you hitting?
What ball did you hit? I know I hit Ecuador, and I know I hit Brazil. And I tried to hit Panama, but I couldn't get that ding-dong to get my call sign back to me for nothing. I don't know what was wrong with that guy.
Yeah, he just could not get your call. I don't know what the deal was there. If it was too much noise on his end or what. But yeah, 10, 12, 15, 17 were really open last night.
Carlos, we got to get you up on HF, boy.
I guess so. So you went all the way to, what do you have, your general since June?
Well, I got my technician in July, and I got my general in August, and I was going to go ahead and get my... extra in September or October, but it didn't work out that way because they got me scheduled and I got a new knee, so I'm studying for my new extra right now. I'm gonna go ahead and get it.
This discussion before you and I took our technician had to be within a week or two of each other. I did mine, I want to say early July over at the Red Cross. But you're way ahead of me on the general. I do need to start prepping for that. How was the step up from there, QF4CBG?
Step up from technician to general?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't bad, but let me tell you, going from general to extra is tough. The question pool all of a sudden goes to 150 questions, and the test is 50 questions. And that's what I'm studying for now. Are you a general?
Just got my technician. Like I said, I took that in early July, and I haven't done any more testing since then.
Hey, Steve, there are 722 questions on the extra exam.
Yikes. Okay. Well, anyhow, in the long and the short of it, I thought you had to be an extra to get a vanity call sign.
Anybody can.
Well, dang, I'm going to go ahead and file for mine then. Well, guys, I've destinated over here in Spartanburg, and I'm going in to see a buddy of yours there, Dave. Oh, Bill Wilcox. I'm going to go ahead and bow out of here. KB4CBA and K4CBG. I will talk to you guys again soon. Carlos, keep him straight on the radio after I'm gone. KN4BWA, clear up, y'all.
Well, tell Bill I said hello. 73 is KB4CBA. Go ahead, Carlos.
KB4CBG. Good to hear the South America and Central America stuff. I spent some time in a lot of those places in the 90s and the aughts, flying C-130s. Spent a lot of time in Central and South America.
Yeah, I think we talked about that. I mentioned to you that I used to live in Charleston, and we were down there, and we're down there 84 to 87. They had the C-130s and the C-141s down there at that time.
In fact, in 96, I left my first station, Northern Maine, drove down to Charleston, and caught a... I want to say it was a, must have been a C-5 from Charleston down to Panama to, I was stationed down there for 2 years.
The C-5A, that's the big one.
Big puppy. I was stationed at Dobbins in Atlanta for a while. The C-5s were coming there for depot repair. And just watching those things come in is surreal to watch something that big come in.
I remember as a kid going and walking, they had the ramp down, and you could walk in the plane and the cargo area, you know, and walk around. I think it was at Donelson Air Base at that time. They had an air show, and man, that thing was humongous. Of course, as a kid, you know, it even seemed bigger. but that was an experience, and one of the things that I remember, I've seen the Memphis Belle. I've seen it here at the downtown airport, but I've also seen it to see. Put it up in Daytona. I went up to Daytona. I say that right? Not Daytona. Dayton, Ohio, and went through that tour. That was fantastic. I just, oh man, that's worth the drive up there just to see all those planes.
Say, I saw that plane, and it would have been the. Early aughts, and I want to say it was in outside of Memphis. And I don't know what occasion, if it was stationed there or what, but it was either that one or one or the other of the squadron over in just outside of Memphis at Millington.
I watched a special on TV last night on it, and it was there for a while, and evidently, they kept it airworthy, so or they redid it or something. But they left. They said they replaced the essential parts, but they left the bullet holes in and you know the places like in the fuselage where it hadn't hit anything, and just for the you know just to show that it was. In World War II, it shows some of the scars, but that I saw pictures of it where it came in, it had this rudder blown off, and from the flak and just different things. Holes ripped in the fuselage. Yeah, you could climb through just about. And I think about those poor guys. They were flying sometimes at 35,000 feet in those B-17s, and they didn't have, they weren't pressurized, and they didn't have any heat.
I want to talk about Men of Steel. Those guys were giants among men.
For CBA, yeah, they really were, are and were. I know they're dying at a rate of about 1,500 a day from World War II, but was the last statistics I heard. But I think if they told them, if they, to boost morale, they told the crews, the 10-man crew, so if a plane went down, you know, you lost 10 guys, and so they told them if they complete 25 missions that they could go, you know, go back to the States and not have to fly any more missions. But 15 was usually the magic number. If you, you know, most of them got shot down before they made 15 flights.
If the, I was just, whenever these kind of topics come up, I always think of the number of killed in action, you know, like Civil War, they say, some say 700,000 or 800,000. And I think in World War II it was 400,000. And then, of course, you know, you look at me in Afghanistan, I think the numbers are, it's got to be less than 10,000. But just those rates are staggering.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for our Air Force, I tell you, Germany was bombing the heck out of England before we got into it. So after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in December 7, 1941, you know, we got in the war, and you know, the Japanese commander said, "I'm afraid we have awakened a sleeping giant," and he was right, boy, because we laid it on them, and we even bombed Germany during the daytime. We had to wait till night. And when the P-51 Mustang came out, it had the range to follow the bombers all the way to their bombing site and back. So they had, you know, fighter coverage as well as the machine guns that they had on board the B-17. So that P-51 Mustang is one more plane, I tell you. I'd love to get in the cockpit of one of those things.
Me both. You want to talk about strapping on some horsepower. That is some serious horsepower on the front end of that thing. I definitely would love to get into one of those too. But listen, I'm pulling into the destination. I believe it's KB4CBA. K4CBG. This is Carlos. And what was the name there again?
And, yeah, they said that thing had so much torque, it pulled to the right, so you had to fly accordingly. But I think its top speed was about 435 miles an hour, so for a prop-driven plane, I think it was about the fastest one we had. All right, well, 73s, and we'll talk to you later, Carlos. You have a good day. Enjoy the rest of the day here. K4CBG. This is Kilo Bravo 4, Charlie Bravo Alpha.